it's strongly impressed on my mind during the day as I've tried to pray for God to bless me to know what to preach tonight, is that God would have us to think about the importance of the church. Think about the characteristics of the church, to think about the beauty of the church. The true church of Jesus Christ is different than any other organization in all the world. The Word of God says in the Old Testament that in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." That's a prophecy of the coming of the church of Jesus Christ, and the fact that there would be many organizations that would claim to be the church, and yet they would not follow the ways of Christ. They want to be called by his name. They want to be called the church of Jesus Christ to take away their reproach. But they want to eat their own bread and they want to wear their own apparel. They want to set up their own standard, and it's contrary to the word and the way of God. That is not acceptable to Jesus Christ. We're going to, Lord willing, begin reading in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. But the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. He purchased the church. He established the church. And he says here, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, is built by Jesus. It's established by Jesus. It is preserved by Jesus Christ. And it is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most special organization that there is in the world. And I use the word organization because I can't think of a proper word. There is no word to describe how wonderful the church of Jesus Christ is. The family, the natural family, was established by God with a husband and a wife and children. And then the church was established by God. And both are tremendously important to the people of God while they live here in this world. The fact is that Jesus Christ, that is described in the Word of God, is really quite different than the Jesus Christ that is often preached in the world today. There are several things that, if you're the church of Jesus Christ, there are several things that you must believe about Jesus Christ. First of all, you must believe that, as is expressed here, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you do not believe that Christ, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, if you're part of a, quote, church that does not believe that, then you need to leave that and find a church that does believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It is a fundamental principle that cannot be compromised with in any way. The true church believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet he is more than just the Son of the living God. John chapter 1 tells us In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word, the Scripture says in verse 14 of that same chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is not only the Son of God, Jesus is God. And if you do not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, or if you're part of an organization that does not believe in the divinity of Christ, if this church ever stops believing that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, then you need to try to convert the church. And if you can't convert this body of people, you need to find another body of people that does believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God and that He is God manifest in the flesh. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. There are many people who go by the name of Jesus. But the Jesus Christ of the Bible was born of a virgin Mary. If you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, then you're not believing in the Bible and what the Bible tells us about the one who is the head of the church. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And brethren, we need to thank God for the truth that He has given us and the truth that we understand. Whatever truth you know, it's God that has revealed the truth to you. That's what Jesus said to Peter right here when all Peter said was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus' response was, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." You're a blessed man to understand that truth. And so it is that all of you who are here tonight, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, if you believe that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, it takes faith to believe those things, and you need to thank God who gave you faith to believe the truth about Jesus Christ. Not only was He born of a Virgin Mary, but the Word of God tells us that He lived an absolutely perfect life. Jesus never sinned. He never had an evil thought. Some people don't think that evil thinking is sin. But the Bible tells us the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. And Jesus never had an evil thought. He never had an evil desire. Jesus never sinned. And if he had ever sinned, He would not have been able to save us from our sins. So He was born of the Virgin Mary, and He lived an absolutely perfect life. And that's part of the truth that the Church of Jesus Christ must believe and must teach and must preach. Not only did He live an absolutely perfect life, but He came, and one of the many things that He did is He established His church in the earth. There are many works that Jesus came to do, but one of the works that He came to do was to establish His church in the earth. And that's what He says right here, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus is the one who builds His church. I do not have the ability, I don't have the power to build the Church of Jesus Christ. Nor does any other man or any other organization have the power to build the Church of Jesus Christ. I can start a civic club, and because of things I know and understand from the business world and from the sales world and human nature, I can build a very successful civic club. But I cannot build the Church of Jesus Christ. The only one who can really add to the Church of Jesus Christ is Christ Himself. He is the one that adds to the church. Brother Jake and Sister Brandy, if it was left up to me, I would have added them to the church a long time ago. But God had His time, He had His moment, that He added them to the church. And it was the right time. It was a perfect time. Not only did Jesus establish His church in the earth, but Jesus, and I don't have time to tell you all about Jesus tonight, but one other thing that's very important to remember, the most important thing He came to do, The angel told Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And brethren, Jesus did not come into the earth and try to save anybody. He didn't come into the earth because he wanted to save everybody. He came into the earth to save his people from their sins. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he had accomplished the primary purpose that he came into the world for, and that was to save his people from their sins. Now the true church of Jesus Christ will be teaching and preaching that Jesus accomplished what he came to do. They will believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they will know that the devil and all of his angels cannot separate even one of those who were given to Christ before the foundation of the world. And that's not a few people. It's a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And the truth is that the devil cannot separate us from the love of God. Amen. Now that's the truth about Jesus Christ. You're in his hand. In John 10, he says, "I've got you in my hand and you're in the Father's hand." Brethren, there's nothing that's preserved any better than the people of God who are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Not only did he die on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins, but he rose again. And brethren, the truth of the resurrection of the body is a wonderful and a marvelous truth. I am thankful to believe and to know then it doesn't matter if someone was buried at sea. It doesn't matter if someone was burned and their body was no longer found, nothing but ashes. It doesn't matter if their body goes back through the natural decomposition of the body. It doesn't matter what happens to my body or your body or the body of any of God's children. There's going to come a day that Jesus is going to come back to the earth and he's going to call. There's going to be the shout of the voice of the archangel and the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. The body. I believe Jesus died and saved us. The scripture teaches that he saved us body, soul, and spirit. Now I'm thankful to believe and to know and teach you and tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ believes that Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he rose again for our justification. And because he lives and because he was raised from the dead, because he was raised, I too believe and I testify to you that the Church of Jesus Christ believes in the resurrection not only of Christ, but Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. And every one of the saints of God are going to be raised from the dust and carried home to be with the Lord forever. That's going to be a marvelous day.
Amen.
Not only was he back there in the beginning of the foundation of the world, not only was he in the beginning, not only was he born of the Virgin Mary, not only did he live an absolutely perfect life, not only did he die to save his people from their sins, not only did he establish his church, not only did he rise again, but brethren, Jesus is right now, not in the future, right now, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is on his throne. Jesus is today. He is the King of the kingdom of heaven. And as the King of his kingdom, he tells his children when they follow him and keep his commandments and they try to serve him and they walk by faith and live by faith and he's pleased with their works, he says to them now, not in the final resurrection, but now he says, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What is that? Well, that whole parable begins by saying, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto a man that was traveling into a far country that called his own servants unto him." And all three of those were his servants. And he delivered unto all three of them his goods. And two of those servants entered into the joy of the Lord. One of them was cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And sometimes God's children, because of their disobedience, and because they do not serve Christ, and they don't walk in a way that pleases Christ, He will shut them out of the kingdom, as He did the five foolish virgins, and He will cast them into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But that does not separate them from the love of God. It separates them from fellowship with God in His kingdom. The true church of Jesus Christ has always preached and will always preach the truth about the kingdom of heaven that God has for His obedient children while they live here in this world. And there are a lot of other things. How long would it take me tonight if I was going to just tell you about Jesus? That's right. Tonight, if I were to live to be 150 years old, I couldn't preach all there is about Jesus. But I just want you to know that the true church of Jesus Christ will not compromise on the truth of what God's Word says about Jesus. The true church of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some more characteristics of the true church. We've looked at some of the beliefs of the true church. Let's look at some characteristics of the church. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The Word of God tells us about the early church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Peter is preaching in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was poured out on those people. And Jesus was being preached. And Peter tells them that this Jesus that you have crucified in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, he says, "So therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Is that something he's going to do in the future or something he's already done at the time these words were spoken? It's past tense verb. It has already happened. That God hath made him both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard that, they were pricked in their hearts. They knew what they had done. And they began to cry out and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And there was something for them to do. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were" what? They were baptized. They were baptized. That's what Brother Jake and Sister Brandy are going through tonight, the Lord willing, is water baptism. They were baptized, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Brethren, the truth, some people say it doesn't matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe, and it matters what is taught in the church. The Word of God teaches that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. It matters what we teach, and it matters what we believe. The fundamental doctrines matter, and the practical godly living matters. This early church, the Word of God says that they were to be baptized, and they were baptized, and the Scripture says that verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a marvelous day that was. And they were baptized, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and is fellowship important? Is fellowship in the church important? Absolutely, brethren. One of the most important things, one of the many important things that the church must do, is that we must continue in fellowship. The Word of God says, "Let brotherly love continue." It is important that the church always work and labor with one another. That the fellowship of the saints of God in the church, that the fellowship would be real. That there would be no schisms in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul rebuked the church of God at Corinth because there were divisions and schisms in the body. And if we're going to continue to be the body of Jesus Christ, there cannot be divisions in the body. The church must be united in the truth. I want to emphasize united in the truth, because just unity alone is of no value to the true church of Jesus Christ. The people in the graveyard behind me, they're all united. They're all facing the same direction. They're all about 6 feet underground. They're all in the same general condition, and that is they're dead. They're united, but they're dead. And there are a lot of united churches today where people are not fussing and fighting, but they're dead because they don't have the truth of God's Word. And if you don't have the truth, then you're a dead church. The Word of God says, well, you think about the book of Revelation. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Well, there's some problems. And then let me say this about the church. If you're looking for an absolutely perfect church, you travel right on down the road. If you think that joining the church means you're never going to have any problems in the church, you're mistaken. There will, as long as this church continues, there will be problems in the church. But the important thing is that we deal with the problems, that we address the problems, that we not ignore the problems. The important thing is that we take God's Word and say, now, we've got differences of beliefs. Well, let's look and see what the principle is, and that's the Word of God. We must follow the Word of God, or we're not the Church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, look in your Bibles just a moment. At 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Word of God says, I didn't have time to finish that in Acts. You know what it says. One of the last things it said is, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who added them? The Lord added them. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 now, I want to emphasize before we go into the baptismal service, I want to emphasize the importance of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 and 15, the Word of God says, these things, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If the church is not teaching the truth, it's not the church, because the church, the true church, is the pillar and ground of the truth. And he says, now I've written these things unto you so you can know how you ought to behave yourself in God's house. Brother Billy, you're going home with me tonight. Come into my house. I've got my house rules. When I go to your house, you have your house rules. Everybody understand that? Now, the church does not have the right or authority or privilege to decide what rules we're going to go by. God, it's God's house. It's His rules. He says, I've given these things, I've written these things unto you so you can know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Do you know what he spoke about just before that, just before he specifically in 1 Timothy in its context, 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, you know what he had just written to them about? The qualifications of pastors and deacons. And did you know you cannot follow God's Word and have women pastors and women deacons? You can't do it. There are a lot of other qualifications that are given there. If you don't follow those qualifications, you cease to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Did everybody follow that? I've written these things unto you so you can know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the Church of the living God. You have to follow those qualifications. The Word of God tells us all kinds of ways that the church must function. There are many things it doesn't say. Does the Word of God say that you have to meet at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning to worship? Does the Word of God say you have to meet at 11 a.m. to worship? No, it doesn't say that. But whatever time the church body decides on to meet, whatever time this church body decides to meet, if you were to decide our morning service, we're going to meet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever the majority of the body wants to do that is not contrary to the Word of God, that's what I'm obligated to do in order to keep unity in the body. And for the body to be of one mind and one accord, I must do what the body decides to do on things that are not contrary to God's Word. Now, if the church ever wants to do something contrary to God's Word, you have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, let's look at this scripture. This scripture is something we're about to go against, and we can't be His church if we're not going to follow His word. It's His house, and we have to follow His rules. We have to follow His word. Let me just quickly say, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, were there problems in the churches? In Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia, were there problems there? I'm going to name the church, and you tell me the problem. Revelation chapter 2, you've got the church at Ephesus. What was the problem with the church at Ephesus? In Revelation chapter 2, the church that was the problem. Now, let me first say this. Were there a lot of things the church was doing right? Yes, God, in every one of those seven churches, they were still the church. God had not removed His candlestick or said, you're no longer the church to any one of those seven. But He says to the church at Ephesus, I know thy works. And He talks about the good things they were doing. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What was that problem? The church at Ephesus? They had what? They had left their first love. And then He comes down in Revelation chapter 2, and He speaks to the church at Smyrna. And the church at Smyrna had people that were holding to doctrines contrary to the truth of God's Word. He says that cannot be allowed for people to hold a false doctrine. Then He talks about the church at Thyatira, and there was a woman, Jezebel in the church. Okay, listen, brethren, if you ever name a child Jezebel, I want to have a long conversation with you. Old and New Testament, you don't need a Jezebel. In our day, you don't need a Jezebel. This church at Thyatira had a Jezebel in the church that was seducing the people in the church. I'm not going to go through all these seven churches. I just want you to know that before God removes His candlestick, before God ever cuts a church off, you know what God always does? God always says, what am I doing right there? Yeah. You know, some people read Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And they'll say that Jesus is at the heart of a dead alien sinner and He wants to come in. That's not what that's about. Jesus was at the door of the church. You go home and read Revelation chapter 3. He was talking to the church at Laodicea. And He said to the church, to born again, baptized believers, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he'll sup with me. That's fellowship. That's intimate fellowship with Christ. Sometimes a church has a door up. It's not that Jesus can't get in. Jesus can blow the house down. He can walk through the door. He can do what He pleases. But He tells the church, you better open this door if you want to have my fellowship. A lot of other things in the Word of God about the true church of Jesus Christ. This is just touching on some of the high points. But I want to encourage all of us to be thankful. Listen carefully. I believe with all of my heart that the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church is trying to be the church of Jesus Christ. I do not believe that we're perfect. I don't believe we know all the truth. But I believe that if God will open up anything to us in His Word that we're in error on, I believe we're going to try to walk in a different way. And I want to encourage all of you to realize what a blessing it is to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. It's one of the most wonderful blessings that you'll ever have. May God help us to rejoice in Him establishing His church and giving us the promise that as long as you follow His word and His way, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.